time with Uncaged.
Welcome to Topple Uncaged. I'm Steve Topple and you're locked on to the UK's hottest politics and music podcast. Each week, I bring you the rawest takes on the big stories making the news, always joined by a very special guest. Then, I pleasure your mind, body and soul with the freshest, most banging international music going. I like to break political, social and musical boundaries on this podcast, and the man on this week's show is no exception to that. He has been, and probably will continue to be, a trailblazer in what he does. I'm extremely excited about this one, so pin back your ear holes and get a load of this. Oh my gosh. My guest on this week's podcast is a musical genius. Nearly 15 years since his first release. Last year he dropped an album which absolutely blew up, topping charts around the world, receiving international critical acclaim, not least a Grammy nomination to boot, and moreover, moving the Roots revival movement into uncharted territory. One of the hottest acts at the minute, Coffee cites him as an inspiration and as a singer, rapper, songwriter, lyricist, producer, arranger, and numerous other talents. He is inspirational. I'm really humbled to have him as a guest on my Topple Uncaged podcast. It's so exciting, and I'm so pleased to introduce the incredible Protégé. Protégé, thank you so much for coming on. It is a real, real pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Give thanks, bro. Give thanks.
Thank you. So, I mean, 2018, it was a huge year for you. Obviously, the album A Matter of Time, as I said in the introduction, blew up across the world. It was such a success. In 2019, you've already started touring. Looking back to 2005, when you dropped your first major release, which was a mixtape, the Lyrical Overdose Volume 1, did you think that it would ever get to this level and this stage for you? Were you expecting it to, and you as an artist, to blow up like this?
I mean, I don't even, like, back then it was just me trying to do something and try to find a way to just hear what I sounded like. You know, you couldn't get into studios or anything, so that was me not being able to get beats or doing anything but just downloading stuff. But yes, I always had a dream that I'd progress into an international artist. It's always been a goal, so I can't say that I'm surprised. You know, I just expected to be where I'm at and further.
And, I mean, where you're at is amazing. As I said, A Matter of Time was, I don't want to call it an album, really. It was an overarching project, and it was absolutely huge. We'll get into the musicality and the more conscious elements of it later on. But why do you think it became such a successful project? Is there one thing you can pin down, or was it something more broadly, do you think, that made people just feel it? Because it's an album which you listen to it and it immediately almost grabs hold of your soul, in my opinion, and touches you. Why do you think it was such a success?
I just think people, you know, start, like, the songs from it were good. It started off with Blood Money, that started off with a vibe, and then the songs were just different. And I think people just always want to try to hear something different and new, and I think A Matter of Time had that. And then on top of it as well, I just think that I've grown and got, you know, more global and traveling to more places, so the music gets to reach more people. So I think that all of those factors combine.
Absolutely. And I think the growth, if you like, of an artist is particularly kind of relevant to A Matter of Time, because it was a fascinating project musically. I mean, I want to kind of, if you look back to your first proper album release, which was A 7 Year Itch, it was eclectic, and it was kind of, for me listening to it, you were almost reintroducing roots to the 21st century, if you like, because it had reggae sensibilities, but then you were breaking the mold of that somewhat, and already setting out how you were as an artist, and the kind of diversity and eclecticism that you do. I mean, some of the tracks on that, for example, Dread, it was kind of, on first listen, it is reggae, but there's distinct dub influences in there.
My mommy said, in front of us stand, that she hold my head, and I was gonna be Dread. So now I'm gonna be Dread.
You have Rasta Love, which is a real neo soul track.
She didn't know tell him she was in love with the Rasta man.
Then you have Overtime, which was kind of in the dancehall territory.
I said the moment tight, I'm hoping you let me know tonight. So that I can put in the overtime, I found someone for right, for right.
Growing Up, which again was back to neo soul R&B, but that was track in particular was kind of hard to box it.
A reason to be thankful every day since I said I would for the show. It's not necessarily the thing.
But overall, the 7 year itch, it was, I mean, it still sounds fresh today. I put it on this afternoon and it feels like it could be in 2019. But then when you compare it to A Matter of Time, and I don't say experimental for A Matter of Time, because I don't think that's quite the right word, but it was such a musically eclectic and diverse album. I mean, you go from its opening with Flames, which was this kind of sweeping, cinematic, almost score-like introduction, which then went into this East Coast kind of almost hip-hop beat, which, when I listened to it the first time, put me immediately in line with Wu-Tang Clan. Have Mind of a King, which had the reggae bubble pattern behind it, which immediately sort of took you to Jamaica. You used a vocoder on it, but then it had hip-hop drums going on in the background and these cool like vocals.
I see them looking all around, far and far around, every country, every town.
You then flip it up with About Noon, which, again, when I listened to it, immediately put me in mind of the Isley Brothers, but then crossed with kind of reggae and hip-hop influences again.
I've been waiting for you, my lady. I'll be on my way to you soon. All through night till morning, don't leave me. Call your work and tell them.
I mean, A Matter of Time, the title track itself, was, for me, the sensation of the album. The production, the arrangement, it was just absolutely fantastic. And again, cinematic in the approach to how you scored it, for me.
Well, if you seek, you find. Whatever you cheat the line. Cause he gon' take all of your trying to make something out of your life.
And then ending off with Camera Show, which, again, was hard to box in. I almost felt like it had a sort of running theme of a New Orleans kind of trad jazz funeral march throughout it. But then you had the bubble pattern going on, you had gospel like background vocals, and yet still some hip hop elements in there. And then for soul listeners, you had a Hammond organ thrown in.
Why the camera show? Oh, the lights they hit before. One thing is for sure.
I mean, A Matter of Time is just this incredibly eclectic, diverse fusion of so many different genres, which represented this real progression as an artist from the 7 year itch. Can I ask for you, is that progression and that eclecticism something that has always been there? Because I know both your parents were musicians, your father was a Calypso King. Is it something that's always been there, or has it something that developed since a 7 year itch and the subsequent releases from that? Where has this brilliant eclecticism come from?
I mean, just growing up in music, and for me, it's like I've always wanted to try things musically, but I've always wanted to take my time as well. You know, like, there are so many sounds that I've had for so long that I just haven't, I don't want to say been able to do them, but just have been conscious of like, gradually moving the music forward so it doesn't shock. And so that it's like you're serving like a meal, but you don't want to just you know, you want to give somebody like something like they're used to first, and then you say, hey, try this. But by that time, they're already enjoying their meals and they're feeling really good. So they're like, okay, let me go with it. And then, and especially with Jamaica and just with my role, what my role has been to reggae music, I wanted to grade it just forward slowly but surely, you know.
No, absolutely, and it's a great analogy about food. Absolutely, and I think you've done it perfectly. You mentioned time there. I was fascinated when I first heard A Matter of Time last year, and then looking at your back catalogue, the whole notion of time seems to be a running theme throughout what you do as a concept and as an artist from each album. What is that correct? Is there something about time which is specifically important to you, or you feel needs to be discussed? Why is time a running theme throughout the albums?
Because it's the only currency we really have, you know what I mean? It's just it's the only currency we really have, and I feel that I'm always fascinated with how much time we waste and how that we can't get back time, and most importantly that to achieve something you have to put all your time into it. So it's like when I was younger, my friends couldn't beat me in like FIFA or anything, because I would spend hours every day, and then now if I ever try to play it, I'm sure like I'd lose 10 times out of 10. And it's like it's the same thing. It's like you have to give up spending time with your family to go on the road and tour or in everything. It's the time is the only currency. So I'm fascinated with it, you know, with ways to slow down time, you know, in a way where to be more efficient with the time, essentially it gives you more time, which to me kind of slows the movement of time. So the album is just me always reflecting on these type of things, you know.
Absolutely, and what you also reflect on throughout your work is the state of us as a species and as a planet more broadly. Consciousness is something that is constant in time terms as well as artistry terms throughout what you do. A Matter of Time being no exception to that. Extremely conscious album. I mean, brilliant tracks like Camera Show, especially the way that the sort of narratives politically and socially are often manipulated by the media and politicians, and your reflections on that. I mean, how important is it? Because I speak to a lot of artists, and some of them say that, well, we have to strike a balance between doing tracks which are very conscious and that have a message that we want to get across to people, to the listeners, but also balance that with tracks which are going to make people feel good and which are essentially songs which can be listened to without much thinking behind them. I mean, how important is it to you to make conscious music? How high up does that rate for you?
It's not even, I just look on it more just start singing and writing about the things that I think about. So it's like for me it's just being myself and really and truly just singing about the things I talk about. Now obviously I do talk about other things that I don't put into music, but I'm comfortable with this. I'm comfortable with it. Music lives forever. I want to have an impact. I want to, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, I'd like them to feel inspired after. At the same time, I mean, music should be fun and light, because there is a certain level of depth to lightness. You know what I mean? It's like you can find the simplest of ways to inspire. So it doesn't have to be, you know, conscious for me is a word that, you know, the meaning is relative, you know. So if I do a song like Bout Noon, I'm expressing how I feel about my girl, I mean, to me that's conscious, you know. So it's all relative. So I don't like to judge what other artists do and what they sing about, because everybody should be free. But I just sing about what I feel, and I think it works, and people are able to connect with it.
No, I think I think you make an excellent point about how conscious is relative to everyone. Absolutely, it was. it was fascinating, just as a side note, looking at the album musically again, because every track bar one was done in a minor key, and as I said in my description of the album, a lot of it was sort of very cinematic in terms of broad orchestral scores, and yet while the majority of the tracks were in a minor key, it was also actually a very positive album. It was kind of almost a paradox how you managed to musically create something which on paper should feel kind of downbeat because of the key it's in and also the orchestration and the arrangements. But actually, there was spiritually and throughout it was very positive in a lot of ways, and I that's for me what made it so fascinating and such a revelatory piece of work. Go on, take a deep breath, have a think about what Protégé just said, grab yourself a drink or whatever else you want, and join us back here in a few minutes for some more chat. Just moving on, obviously Rastafari is extremely important to you. It's you mention it a lot in your work over the course of your journey so far. Is it another big influencer over your music, your faith and belief system?
Yeah, sure. Philosophically, I take a lot of stuff from His Majesty and just Marcus Garvey, Walter Rodney, just people who have, been inspired by. I try to read a lot. I find that anytime I read a lot, that's when I write the best. So it's like I try to do it. I'm not doing my best at it in the past couple of weeks, but I find that, Rastafari philosophically, like, just the actual words from His Majesty himself, I mean, those are very inspiring to me, and then I find ways to bring it to people without them really knowing where it's from, to an extent, you know what I mean? So I don't sing as much praises songs, you know what I mean? Like, there's Hail Rastafari, but a lot of the time with music I just try to sing about the ideas, so that if you don't even know, Or if you are, what I say, like, if you are just out there, you're from a religion or Christianity or you're Muslim or whatever, but you hear the ideas I'm speaking, I think that it's able to connect, because religion a lot of the times it just puts up a barrier and people kind of put up a fence. So it's like, but ideas are universal, you know what I mean? And when you look at it, like, a lot of religion, the ideas are universal, but we get caught up in the division of it. So in my music, I just try to put the ideas there and see if, people can connect to it.
I think that's very, again, inspirational way of doing it. I think it's very crucial. I mean, I say this to a lot of artists that I speak to, that the kind of state of the world at the minute, and us as a species especially, it's pretty dire in a lot of respects. And I almost feel like, with regards to Roots and the revival movement, that it's the kind of music we need at the moment, because not only does it's always positive in one way or another, but also the messages that it delivers are extremely important. I mean, looking at how the world's changed since you released Lyrical Overdose back in 2005, how do you feel we are as a sort of species and planet? Because for me, we're in quite a negative place in many respects. Do you feel that, and do you think as well that as a species and as a world, we can pull ourselves back from the negativity that we're in?
To be honest, like, I don't really see the signs that that we are moving in the right direction. So for me, it would just be me being hopeful to say, yes, I feel we can. But mankind hasn't really given me any evidence from my logical mind to say, yes, we can. Of course, you can do anything, but I wouldn't bet my life on it, because the way we treat each other is very, very disappointing. And I just find sometimes that I don't know how to relate to the world sometimes anymore on a whole. So I feel that it's funny because I think there's a segment of people. I think there's a definitely a rise in consciousness, but I think it's still niche. I think globally we're getting worse, but at least, you know, there is a set of consciousness that I see happening, but so it happens, it's so more negativity rises as well. So I wouldn't bet on it.
It's really hard, isn't it? Because I agree with you. I think that the people who are, like to coin the phrase that a lot of people use, who are woke or who are conscious, are more conscious and more in tune with what needs doing than maybe previously in recent times. But the rest of everyone who isn't are becoming less and less and less and less and less conscious. And it's kind of like it's becoming extremely polarized in terms of who is consciously and spiritually on the path they should be on, and everyone else who in terms of Rastafari philosophy, who is sort of embedded deep in Babylon almost. And it's kind of, I agree with you, it's really hard to see how we can maybe pull ourselves back. But as I said, I mean, for me, I think music's a major part of that. I mean, do you think so? Can music maybe be one of the forces that can change this for us?
Music is very, very powerful. Music is very is very influential to people, you know, like it's the modern day poets, it's the modern day like Shakespeare's, it's things that can have impact on people for sure. And it does. And people always say, you know, music doesn't have a negative effect on people. And then, you know, music can't make you do negative stuff. And I'm saying, the same people that say that are the same people that say, you know, oh, this song lifted my spirit so much and made me feel so great. And I'm like, if music can be positive and lift your spirits, then why can't music be negative and down your spirits? It has to go both ways. So I feel like that happens. But as you can see, you know, the music that's pushed to the forefront, the music that is given the time and space and focus, and not just by the system, but just people in general, like people, for the majority, they just like, you know, they hear something and it's wild and crazy and they're into it. And I think that's just the way the world is has been conditioned. And now it's to the point where, you know, we're conditioned to just more slackness or more very, very liberal stuff. And as I say, it's just, for me, it's just the way of the world. I'm not an idealist, so it's more along the lines of I just see what is happening and then I try to do my best to put a positive impact in the world.
Yeah, no, you're spot on about music. I had Cali P on back in January and we were chatting about a similar issue, and he said that the problem with the music industry specifically is that people are effectively fed nonsense to listen to, because what they're listening to is nonsensical, and it's a major challenge. And also I think that's why I mean, there are artists like you that break through, and Kabaka, who's also broken through, and there are, in terms of the entertainment industry, there are some people who play sort of revival and roots move music, and who play more conscious stuff. Like in the UK, we have Dave Rodigan on One Extra, who plays a fair good selection of roots-based music. But generally, you don't get to hear it on any mainstream stations. And there's always a kind of it's a kind of chicken and egg question for me. Are mainstream outlets not playing more conscious music because the system won't let them, or are they not playing it because people aren't listening to it, therefore there's no demand for it? And what do you think on that? Which is it, do you think?
I think that's a good analysis. I think it's a mixture of both. But I do think it has been systematic over the past, since the artist wasn't able to break out themselves. Like, now it's much easier with YouTube, with Spotify, with things for people to get music. And I think that the challenge has always been make, you know, the music that we're making very palatable for youth. And I think with something like, say, Coffee now, who is, you know, young and fresh, doing her thing, and she is what you would call mainstream. You know, she is mainstream with a positive sound. It's not traditional reggae, but that's also dope that she doesn't have to do that, and she can just put her sounds out there. So, as I say, now, who knows what's mainstream? It's possible. It's definitely possible. And it shows that people will listen to this type of music if they're given the chance, or if there's visibility. So I just think it's to keep it fresh, and there's no real complaint. You know, it's just to keep making it fresh and, you know, doing what you can do to reach out there.
No, absolutely. And you touched on something I wanted to ask you next. You were one of the, I suppose, I don't want to say pioneers, maybe that's not the right word, but you sort of led the revival movement back when it started in sort of the early part of this decade. And it's changed so much. I mean, when you look at the amount of artists out there, the diversity of what people are doing, both musically and lyrically. And then when you, this year already, we have, as you pointed out, seen Coffee really break through and manage to break through into that mainstream. I mean, she's going to blow up this year. She's going to be absolutely huge. How does it feel as someone who was there back in the day, as it were, to see how it's now become such a overarching, such a huge and important, but also phenomenally exceptionally good movement? How do you feel about that? How does it feel for you?
It feels good. It feels really good, because I always told people that, you know, like, give us 10 years to change the culture and to make that impact. And as I sit and look at it now in 2019, as I say, with the success of, overwhelming success of Coffee, and who definitely, like, grew up on my music, and Lila Ike, and, you know, like, obviously the success of Chronix as well, who to me is like, such a brilliant artist and has done so much for music as well. You know, Kabaka touring, you know, Jesse, like, I feel Jana, and it feels really good because we all just started out, and just to see it now, I would say, 8 years later, it feels really good. And then to also know that there's still gas in the tank, you know what I mean? Like, nobody is finished yet, just looking for health and strength, and to make sure that we continue to bring the music further.
There is still gas in the tank. I mean, there's some such exciting people coming through. I had someone you'll know on the podcast. I recorded the interview with her the other night, Raquel Stevenson, who's Ray Nicole singer, who I know is a backing vocalist for you. She's gorgeous voice. She's absolutely fantastic. Black Hero, The Immortal Stepper, his album, a stunning piece of work. Like I say, it's very overarching musically. There's some real new and exciting talents coming out of the movement, and especially coming out of Jamaica as well. I mean, the what's coming out of the country at the minute is just absolutely phenomenal. It's fantastic, and it's like I say, for you, it must be incredibly humbling, I suppose, as well, to see what's happening with this. I just want to just to close up, I mean, I'm not sure what else you can really do at the minute, because you've had huge album, you've just been touring, but have you got anything else lined up for 2019, or are you just gonna have a rest?
No, you have no idea what's coming for 2019. I'm building my studio right now up in the hills in Kingston, and I have a lot of music, bro. I have a lot of music, and I'm not waiting 3 years in between albums again. I'm not even waiting 2 years in between albums again. I have lots of music to come this year. I have lots of music from myself, from Lila Ike, from Savannah. Music with me and Lila, with me and Savannah. It's going to be a very interesting year this year. It's the last year of the decade. It's the closing out of an era of music, and I want to make sure that my presence is definitely felt this year.
That sounds so exciting. Just to hear that you've got new music out is absolutely
huge. Yeah, I'm gonna rest in like 5 years. 5 years, you'll hear no more about me.
Don't say that.
I don't want to be like, music is for a time for me, and I wanted to spend like a good amount of time being an artist, but there's many, many more things I want to do. And obviously my music, hopefully I will have done enough in my career for it to live on forever, but I'm not that interested in 7 years from now trying to make music. And like, we'll see. I don't want to put a cap on it, but I love producing. I love running a label. I love, you know, traveling with my younger artists and seeing them do their thing. So I'm very confident in their abilities, you know, Lila and Savannah, to do great things in music. So I'm here putting out crazy music now for the next couple of years, and then we'll see what happens after.
Well, that is music to my ears, Protégé, that you're doing that. So I'm looking forward to that already. It has been absolutely fantastic speaking to you. Fascinating insights as always, and really, really interesting to hear about where you've come from and where you're going to. It's been great to talk to you. Protégé, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Whereabouts in UK are you?
London.
Oh, dope. Coffee did a launch last night.
Yeah, my friend, there's a UK rapper called Marcy Phonics, who's a good friend of mine, and he was at the launch, yeah, and he was putting out on Instagram him hugging her. So, yeah, I think it was Brixton she was at. So,
I can't wait to get back to UK, bro. Like, it's my one of my favorite places in the world, and I can't wait to come back, so I'll keep you posted.
Excellent. It's really, we have a strange kind of setup here, really, because we're almost a bit like the US in terms of everything's really corporate on the surface, and everything's very, it's all very capitalist, corporate, etc. But then you scratch the surface in the UK, and there is a whole movement and a whole sort of underground level of people who are just tuned in, conscious, woke, interested in diverse music. And we're an interesting country. We're a bit of a mess at the minute, Protégé, to be honest, but we're an interesting country.
The whole world is a mess at the minute, bro, so don't feel left out, all right?
No, you're spot on, exactly. The world is a mess. We could carry on talking, but I will wrap it up. Protégé, thank you.
Take care, brother, all right?
How amazing is Protégé? Oh my gosh. So thoughtful, considered, deep, philosophical, and of course a legend when it comes to music, lyricism, and production and arrangement. He is just amazing. Matter of Time was just amazing. And here is one of my favourite tracks from the album. It is the opening one, the overarching cinematic, then into a bit of East Coast hip-hop, Flames, featuring the fantastic Chronix. This is Flames featuring Chronix.
I can't get it tonight, find them kryptonite then. Man apart like Superman, one or group a man stand up right beside them. Come through with a new pattern, inna the suit of them, man, you a shoot and a miss. Start up with thunder, flash the lightning. Fire start sing a song reciting. Fire side night with all the hydrin. Fire subscribe, them start the writing. Oh, look at how them want us fighting. Distracted with advertising. Control the brain with all the choices. And now them want control ganja prices. Not a bumble clot as long as I live. I play street, them can't stop like this.
Remember everything, everything, yeah. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. So we burn them again and again and again and again. Anything or anything. Remember everything, everything, yeah. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. So we burn them again, again and again. Babylon in a flame.
When the government can't fight crime, they blame cartel and blame alkaline. To the parents, them when I try to tell the youth, them make up them own mind. Happy think deeper, overstand me. All of these thoughts are underhanded. Like all a man, like Bustamante. Oh, you forget me, trust a man, de. National hero, who you turn them. You share a band, water run them. None of them think no teaching at the school. Them take man for fool, you know that plan them. But when they want them, when I compromise, start talk truth so them are come for eye. A eye for your eye, or a tooth for your tooth. Till a mouthful of gum and your food, no get you.
Everything is everything. Nothing to lose and everything.
That's it. The special episode of Toppling Caged is done. I'd like to thank my fantastic guest, the incredible Protege. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Protege. As always, behind the scenes, thank you to the love of my life, the gorgeous Nicola Jeffrey. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Nicola C. Jeffrey. My man in the booth, sound engineer Gav Pause. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Pause with the Z Radio. And as always, my in-house singer, it's Ray Star Music. Follow her on Twitter. It's at Ray underscore star 113. Thank you to the Canary for uncaging me. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And trust me, there's more of this where that came from.
Uncaged.